Welcome back to Mountain Money. Well, for some time, Park City local Matthew Prince has expressed an interest in buying Park City Mountain Resort from Vail. And while he's criticized Vail management, press reports indicate that he's not interested in trying to buy all of Vail. But somebody else might be. There are recent reports that Oasis Capital Management is considering a proxy fight to push out existing Vail management. So, what's a proxy fight, and how might this play out? On the phone to help us understand this is Bill Baker, former Associate Director of the Division of Enforcement at the Securities and Exchange Commission, and I was fortunate enough to be able to practice law with Bill for a number of years. So, Bill, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Roger. And I consider myself the fortunate one for the opportunity to practice with you.
Okay. So, Oasis Capital Management is known as an activist investor. What's an activist investor?
Investors come in multiple stripes, but people generally divide them into two categories, passive investors. And when you talk about passive investor, you think about someone who buys the company, but doesn't have any real interest in guiding that company. So, someone like Warren Buffett, for instance, who invests in a large company, either a substantial percentage, like Coca-Cola or Apple or Microsoft, all Berkshire Hathaway investments, or buys the entire company like Geico. Those are passive investors. Activist investors, on the other hand, are people who believe that there is some problem with the company that should be fixed. And it might be, management integrity. It might be that some part of the company is in the wrong lines of business. It might be strategy, or it might be that it shouldn't be a public company. So there'd be a take private. Those are activist investors who have some plan to guide the company that's different from existing board and management.
And I assume that chapter one in an activist investor movie starts with buying a decent sized stake in the company they're interested in. What is it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's 100% correct. Because if you want the company to listen to you, you have to have skin in the game, right? Put your money up to show that you're serious. There are plenty of outside agitators, people who will pound the table. The classic example of that are the nuns who buy a stake in a defense company. They might own one or two shares so that they can appear at the annual meeting, but they don't have any meaningful percentage in the game.
So you're telling me my 0.0000001% of Apple stock doesn't give me any pull?
Yeah, I don't think Tim Cook is going to take your call, unfortunately.
All right, that's why.
Okay, so the movie begins with buying a substantial stake. Explain to us what the 5% threshold is and how significant is it that Oasis has already acquired about 8% of Vail stock?
Sure. If the 5% threshold is... and let me just back up for two seconds. Public companies are regulated in a variety of ways by federal government, state government, and localities. And someone like Vail Resorts has multiple layers of government regulation, right? When we're talking about it, the corporation itself and the corporate policies and how the corporation is run, the federal government doesn't really play a large role except for the requirement that whatever the company is doing or whatever an individual is doing, you have to disclose that accurately. Most of the control of the company, those issues are state law issues. Vail Resorts is like most large public companies, although it's changing, thanks to Elon Musk and others, it is a Delaware corporation. And there is a significant body of law that says how the corporation has to be run from a process standpoint, not the business of the corporation, but the processes that the company has to run. One way that the SEC requires disclosure is that if you are a large investor in a company, If you have over 5% of the outstanding shares, then you are required to file a what's called a beneficial ownership report. And that is either a Schedule 13D or a Schedule 13G. Most large investors, passive investors, are going to fall within the requirements of Schedule 13G. All that does is say, we, BlackRock, Fidelity, and own this percentage of the outstanding shares. That is all they need to say. We own this number of shares. We paid X price for it. So you have some sense for how much they've invested. That's a Schedule 13G filing. If you have interest in perhaps doing something more, and I'm oversimplifying here, but then you would file a Schedule 13D. And Schedule 13D has much more detailed requirements about, are you part of a group? Have you assembled four or five other investors and are working together in some common plan? Have you contacted bankers? What's the source of the funds that you have utilized to buy these shares? Now, one thing that with respect to Vail Resorts that's interesting is, right now there are 13G filer. So despite all the noise that you've read out there about their interest, they have not basically gone in and filed a 13D. Changed their filing, because I think they own about 8%.
Right.
So they have to file a beneficial ownership report. But right now they're just a 13G filer. If they start to take steps beyond a passive investment, then they've got to convert their 13G filing to a 13D filing.
And somebody like Oasis, I don't think they're likely to be a buy and hold. So if they were going to try to do something else, whether it involves, you know, lining up other people, other groups, what are some of the tools they might use to try to change management, to enhance the value of the stock that they bought?
So you're right. Oasis, unlike the other large investors in Vail Resorts, has a reputation as an activist investor. And they have, interestingly, principally in Asia and in Japan primarily, they have had success as an activist investor. And what does that mean? It's really twofold. One is, have they been able to effectuate the changes that they thought would improve business prospects? And as a result of those changes, have they made money? If Oasis is in fact interested in acquiring Vail Resorts, which seems unlikely to me, given that the market capitalization of Vail Resorts right now, I think, is about $5 billion. So in Wall Street today, that's not a massive amount, but it would require a significant portion of Oasis's assets under management to buy it. And they certainly haven't suggested, I haven't seen anything that suggests that that's their goal. Now, what they would try and do is assemble support for changes at the company, contact other institutional investors, most of which don't have the largest shareholders in Vail Resorts don't have a reputation as activist investors. Baron Capital, I think, might be the largest investor. They are very much a buy and hold investor. And I'm not an expert in this area, but I think that they've been a long-term investor in Vail Resorts and have generally been supportive of the current management. So they own about 14%. You can probably take them off the table as someone who would be supportive of Oasis. There are other investors, but the other investors are also largely buy and hold investors. BlackRock, Fidelity, Vanguard. And by the way, just to be clear, these are all funds that are managed by those entities that own the shares. So Larry Fink does not personally own 5% of Vail Resorts. And instead, BlackRock funds, which are largely index funds and own shares, they're the BlackRock is the what's called the beneficial ownership. They're basically have the right to vote those shares and to participate in the management of the company through the board of directors.
So obviously, Oasis is interested in doing something. What would a proxy fight be? Is that the way they would try to maybe get enough votes to change the board, to change direction? How would that work?
So look, one way they could seek to influence it is just by pounding the table and engaging through the media and trying to get the attention of management in that fashion. And I suspect some of that has been what's been going on. And to see whether the CEO and the board, and interestingly, unlike a lot of public companies, I think that the only non-independent director at Vail Resorts is the CEO. I think all of the other directors are so-called outside directors, which is for a company their size is a little bit unusual. Generally, CEOs like to keep their friends close, and it's interesting to me. It's not a company that I've followed closely through the years, but it's interesting to me that it's largely independent. But just try and get the attention of those directors and say, look, we think the current business plan, the company was at, $300 a share 4 or 5 years ago. It's about half of that now. Something isn't going right. So we need to make some changes. And maybe nothing more than that, right? That they go to public, to government agencies, whatever, pound the table and say, we need to be doing something differently. Another way would be, as you pointed out, Roger, is to collect proxies. What does that mean? Well, the directors are elected, and Vail Resorts, unlike a lot of large public companies, Vail Resorts does not have a staggered board. So every year, the directors, and I think there are 8 or 10, but don't quote me on that, are reelected. And just at the risk of oversimplifying, the board of directors is responsible for selecting the CEO and providing oversight of the business of the company. So if you want to engage in a proxy fight, you try and replace the existing directors with directors who are more sympathetic to your point of view. We go to the large investors and say, basically, give me your proxy and I'll vote that I'll vote for the directors who agree, a slate of directors who agree with me as to how the company should be run. And it's easier to do at a company that doesn't have a staggered board, because everybody's elected, and I don't know that Vail Resorts has set its annual meeting date when the election occurs. It'll be before the end of the year, obviously, but generally I think they'll do it in the fall, and they may be waiting to set the meeting date to see if the potential for proxy fight is there and what they might want to do to address that.
Yeah, last year they elected the board at the end of September, in late September, so maybe they'll do it again this year.
Okay, Bill.
I would look for something in that frame, but yeah. Delaware law would say it's got to happen in calendar 2026.
Gotcha.
Okay, so the story starts to break, and obviously Vail is aware that Oasis is doing this. My guess is that the general counsel of Vail has made a few phone calls. what kind of people has he called, and what is he asking them to do?
So he almost certainly calls the professionals. And Roger, you and I had, and neither of us, unfortunately, were M&A partners, and we weren't compensated like M&A partners. But would call the M&A lawyers and M&A mergers and acquisitions, who have deep experience in this area, know Delaware law, know the banks, know the proxy advisors, and there are several well-respected firms that help to either conduct proxy contests or defend against them. So you would hire those kinds of professional advisors. You'll want a significant investment bank, because this is a very expensive process to conduct a proxy fight. Talking tens of millions of dollars, just not to make the investment, but just to pay those very well compensated M&A lawyers, proxy advisors, investment banks, and the board of directors would almost certainly hire its own set of advisors, independent of the company's advisors. So it's a full service enterprise for lawyers, investment bankers, and others.
So even the fact that we've gotten this far would suggest that it's probably likely that those kinds of steps are being taken. And, you know, just real quickly, Bill, what are some of the things that companies do to defend themselves against, you know, potential, you know, activist investors trying to do things that management really doesn't want to do?
So the most important thing is to engage with other investors and talk to BlackRock, talk to Vanguard, talk to other significant investors, and say to them, here's what we're doing. Here's why we think that what Prince wants to do or what Oasis wants to do doesn't make sense for us. Most of the large institutional investors, again, the Vanguards, the BlackRocks of the world, they have policies that require them to engage shareholder advisors. Like you may have heard of Glass Lewis is a very prominent shareholder advisor. Institutional Shareholder Services, ISS, is another one. If there is in fact a proxy contest, you'll want to talk to those advisors and see if you can persuade them that the path you're on is the right path, so that they in turn can make a recommendation to the institutional advisors, who probably have their own ideas as well, but they want to have the protection of an independent third party providing them with that recommendation.
So that's on the Vail side. Now, what about on the Oasis side? What could they be doing right now to increase their leverage? Same thing?
Trying to line up existing shareholders and getting recommendations again from investment banks or hedge funds. There's been a little bit of a pop in the stock over the last few weeks, which might suggest, I mean, it might mean nothing more than people see that this debate is going on and think that'll have a put upward pressure on the stock, or they may be talking having preliminary discussions with other investors to try and get them involved in some fashion. And going back several years ago, Roger and my old law firm was involved in a proxy fight for a pharmaceutical company called Allergan. And another pharmaceutical company wanted to buy Allergan and called Valiant. They got Bill Ackman, a very well-known investor, on their side. And ultimately, Valiant was not successful in acquiring Allergan, but they got sold to Amgen. So that was a resolution that was preferable than being part of Valiant.
I want to get to some of the colorful terms we hear in corporate takeover battles, but first I want to make sure that I understand something. We talked about how that Oasis is probably talking to other investors. When does that line get crossed such that they have to change their 13 filing? Preliminary talks probably don't do it. Is it when they have an agreement? What triggers that next shoe that we might see fall?
So, as some people would say, those preliminary discussions, once you pick up the phone and call, then you've got to switch from a 13G to a 13D. The problem is, neither the SEC nor the courts have been particularly interested in enforcing that hard line. And there is a private right of action under Section 13D of the Securities and Exchange Act. But generally, the only remedy you have under that is curative disclosure. So you file, you get a temporary injunction, you then file your curative disclosure. It doesn't really do anything to slow down the process. And the SEC has just not, really since the late 80s, early 90s, been interested in enforcing those requirements. The thinking at the SEC is these are big market participants who are capable of taking care of themselves, that individual investors who should be our primary concern don't need us to get involved in these kinds of battles.
So those of us who want to sit on the sidelines with our popcorn and track what's going on, the next shoe we should be watching for is that potential 13D filing.
Yes.
And Bill, just 1 minute left. How long is this movie likely to take to play out? I guess it depends on what happens.
You know, it depends on what happens. Summer is not necessarily a great time to be trying to do a takeover. People are on vacation. This is not like, and no disrespect to Vail Resorts. I have an epic pass. I've had one for years. Learned to ski at Vail, so I'm generally supportive. But it's not. This is not the kind of battle that's really going to engage the financial institutions and the people who, put differently, there's probably not a huge amount of money to be made here. Mm-hmm. And this is more a debate about the spirit of Vail Resorts, if you will.
All right. We've been talking with Bill Baker, the former Associate Director of Enforcement at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Bill, thanks for spending so much time with us. And if they file a 13D, we'll get you back.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
Please subscribe to the Mountain Money Podcast to stay on top of all the latest episodes of KPCW's Mountain Money.
If you have any ideas for Mountain Money, please shoot us an email at mountainmoney@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, make sure you leave a review no matter how you listen. And we'd appreciate it if you clicked 5 stars.